On Tour 83, we're going to take a second look at our Disney Christmas wish list for 2022. On this trip, we are joined by two wonderful guest tour guides. First is my friend Lori Harding, which you may remember from tour number 77, going to Walt Disney World as a solo traveler. And also returning is Demi, also known as Magical Hijinks on YouTube. Together, we got into some interesting conversations, and we came up with some new ideas for our Disney Christmas wish lists. It was an incredible time, and I hope you enjoy it. So let's jump into the conversation. All aboard! Our Disney Christmas wish list really went well the last time, so I decided to do part two. And I put out a call to some past guests to see if maybe they would like to share some of their wishes as well. And two of them actually had the guts to respond and come on board with me. So this should be fun. Joining me today is my good friend Lori Harding. You heard from her several tours ago about her solo trip to Walt Disney World. I was jealous about that, but it was nice to see her while we were there. Hello, Lori.
Hello.
Are you all ready for Christmas?
Not even close, but getting there.
Oh, good. I'll send you my list.
Okay, cool. I'll get right on top of that. I'm going to send my children. Who are you kidding?
And we also have returning with us a friend of our show and a Disney influencer, at least I think she is, Demi, also known as Magical Hijinks. Hello, Demi. How is the holiday shaping up for you?
Oh, it's going really well. This is the first year that I not only finished shopping, but wrapping like the first week of December.
Wow.
Yeah.
My wife was just hitting Amazon yesterday and we're direct shipping some of the stuff to a couple of our kids. So we don't have to worry about that part. We're going to jump right into this. Like I said, on our last tour, my co-host Diane and I got to talk about several ideas of what we have for Disney Christmas wish lists. And I kind of got the idea partially because Bob Iger's back in the chair again. And I know we all have some things we'd like to see get done or undone along the way. And those can certainly be on the list. But I'm also wondering if maybe you had some personal ideas on your Disney Christmas wish list, and I'd like to hear about them. I love hearing what other people want because it gives me new ideas of things I might want to go after. So, Demi, let's start with you because you've been a busy little beaver lately. So I wonder if you got anything left on your list.
Oh, well, I have been doing a lot of stuff at Disney the past 2 years with my YouTube channel. So I've been experiencing things for the first time, and there's endless things to experience for the first time, no matter how many times you go. I'm so in such a weird space when it comes to the parks right now because it's such a weird time. And now that Iger's back, we're like in this hopeful stage of like, maybe things will get better. But certain, I don't know, where it's like uncertain. I think for me, my most thing actually that I want is not even in the parks. Okay. I personally want to have the Disney stores back.
I like that.
I miss my Disney store so much. It hurts. Every time I walk by my former Disney store in my mall, it is now this like other toy store. You can see the blue line. You can see how it looked like the Disney store, and it's not that. And it's just like, oh, it's like, it hurts. And they were just such magical places. Now for me, like I am so lucky to live in New York where I can go to the Times Square one if I really need my Disney store fix, but it's just not the same. It's a big touristy, big thing. And it doesn't have that same like feeling of like your local Disney store where you could just literally go very close and have that magic whenever you really needed it. And for me, you know, being from New York, it was always such a place that I'd love to go. Like you didn't have to, I mean, obviously this is probably why they closed. You didn't have to buy anything to really have a great experience there. but actually I found that I bought more things there than online or even in the parks where I get 20% off as an annual pass holder, because like you'll see it and you need that magic away from the parks to, you know, your home, or they have like the discount rack and you just get a bunch of great stuff. Like I have this one Spirit jersey that everybody always asks me where I got it. It's this Toy Story one with the clouds. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got it for like $30 at my Disney store like years ago. And I just miss it so much. It was really like such a great place and such a magical feeling. And it felt like you were in the Disney parks bubble away from the parks. And I know that a big reason why they did it was because people did get their fix from the store and they wanted people to then, instead of going to the store, just go to the parks. And that's sad. And I really hope, I know that they like kind of partnered with Target, but if I had it my way, I don't know if it would happen, but that's my number one thing on my Disney wish list is the Disney stores back.
I can't disagree with that, because our original Disney store that we had here was downtown and it was huge, huge. It took me 3-4 minutes to walk from the front to the back if I stopped along every kiosk to look at what they had. And of course, the very back, you know, they have the big screen and they'd play the videos and do all that stuff. And when I would walk in there, I could imagine myself actually being in the Magic Kingdom, because, and as I've told my listeners before, I'm colorblind. I can sort of see the colors, but don't ask me to tell you what shade of that color it is. I can't see that. But when I first started going to Walt Disney World, because of the way they shaded everything and they painted everything fresh all the time, I could see a lot of the colors, the brilliance behind them. It was almost like walking into a cartoon back then. And Disney Store for me had a lot of things. And then they opened a couple of other stores here in town and they're like half the size. I'm like, no, that's not right. I agree with you. I would love to see them bring Disney stores back in some form, because it was nice to be able to get that little piece of magic here in our own town. So I love that idea.
I was going to say, I had two stores and an outlet within, oh, sorry, three stores and an outlet within like a 20-minute drive.
Me too, yeah.
So, and now I have nothing except for downtown Manhattan. And although there is nothing quite as magical as that escalator in Times Square.
It really is beautiful. Story. And I notice new characters and new things every time I go on. And I was just recently there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is beautiful.
There's nothing quite like that, but it's still not, I get what, you know, like as a quote unquote local.
Yeah.
Like it's I don't want to go there on a busy, like I just, this time of year.
It was crazy. I mean, and I work in theater and I try to avoid that area as much as I possibly can, because it's just such a tourist like crazy zone that you just want to be as far away from Times Square as possible when you're from here. So, but yeah, it's still, no, it's a beautiful store. I love what they've done with it. But it's not like that real local one.
No, not at all. Not
but if all. They ever take that away, I'm I will just die. I actually.
Well, there's one more right across the river, at the Jersey Gardens. I think it is.
They still have theirs.
So just. Yep. I think it's listed as an outlet now. Maybe. But yeah, I haven't made it down there yet, because the idea of the New Jersey Turnpike is like a nightmare to me. So, and it's so close to the airport that it's a pain. But at last I heard it was still there.
Oh wow! I mean, it's far, but like yeah. When the stores were closing, what was so crazy, because we didn't at that time, nobody was sure what was going on. And my store, I asked one of the cast members, and they said, you know, we're one of the most profitable stores in all of the stores, and they still got shut down. And then I went over to the Times Square after like most of them shut down. And I asked one of the cast members, like, you haven't heard anything about like this store shutting down. And they said, there's no rumors about shutting down, but the thing is we still could close at any time. There's no guarantee for us either. And I was like, oh no. It stinks.
Okay, Lori, what about you? You got a Disney Christmas wish on your list?
The Disney Christmas, I thought about this last night after, you know, I confirmed with you, you didn't want anything big. I'm like, I got to think though. I think the next thing on the list, beyond getting to Disneyland, which has been on the list for forever, I want to get on a Disney cruise. I think that's like, I saw your shirt as we were talking. Yeah, I could see it there. I don't have one of those on, but after watching and having a couple friends go lately, and Sarah, who you had on a little while ago, she just got off the Wish, and just everybody seeming to love it, and I've never cruised before, and I'm like, this might be a good way to dip the toes in and see. So I think that's number one, but you know, there's college tuitions and things to pay in the meantime. So
yeah, Disney cruise is definitely on my list as well, but I think I'm probably going to have to do something a little less expensive to get my wife interested. So probably thinking Royal Caribbean on that. I don't think that'll be too big of a step down, but it's not Disney. I'm trying to think if I have any other wishes, which I'm sure I do. You know, I think, I can't remember if I said this with Diane or not. If I did, it's still worth repeating. I would like to see them bring back The Wonderful World of Disney in some form or fashion. It was a show I grew up on as a kid. Michael Eisner brought it back for a short time and he hosted, and I thought he did a really good job. Okay, here's my big Disney Christmas wish, and it's not going to happen this year. We got 2 years to find out if it will. I would like to see the Disney company go back to a two-person leadership model. When they started, you had Walt, who was the creative, and Roy, who took care of the money. When Michael Eisner was in charge, he had Frank Wells until Frank was killed in a helicopter crash. I think that's a system that works well for Disney, and I'd kind of like to see him go back to that. Who would that be? I don't have any idea right now, but I'm sure there's somebody out there, either currently with Disney or somewhere else, that understands that having both parts of that makes the company stronger and allows the guest experience to continue in a way that is acceptable to the guest. I just have to believe that's out there somewhere. What do you guys think?
I love that. I think that's absolutely such a great point. And I think that's something that we can feel when you step into the parks or think about the company in general, that is missing. That partnership was such, both those partnerships were definitely something to look upon and think about everything that they accomplished and all the legacy it's held, versus, not that I think that Iger didn't do a great job. There are certain things that are definitely questionable. And everything was done very differently, financially more successful. Mm-hmm. But that magic that those years brought is something that still kind of lingers on. And we haven't really felt something similar since. People literally love to kind of joke about the Eisner years.
Right.
Because he was the big dreamer. And some of the decisions he made were definitely out there. there was a lot of stuff out there but you know what? Like, he went for it. And during the last couple of years, you know, all I kept saying was, man, if we could have Eisner back right now, I think things would be a lot different. But you're right. You need the one person to balance out the other.
Yeah, and I think that's what's been lacking the past few years. It's just been so financial, and so, you know, and that magic part of it seems to have like vanished. And my last two trips are 4 years apart, which is a sin, but that's besides the point. Not that this last trip in September, when I overlapped with Matthew, wasn't magical, but it was very different than the one 4 years prior.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put it on COVID, because I don't think that that's it. I think it's just a lot of the other changes have definitely made it a little, one, clearly less affordable, but less, I don't know, like that little spark is kind of missing.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to put it on COVID either, but I think that some people within the company, like Mr. Chapek, used it as an
excuse. He's no longer with the company.
Thank you. Used it as an excuse to make some changes that really didn't sit well with those of us who are fans. It definitely, I think, watered down the guest experience as a whole. And unfortunately, they're still fighting to recover some of it post-COVID because they still don't have all the employees they need to get back. I mean, I get on the Disney career site all the time, and I need someone to brainwash my wife because I'm missing an opportunity to move down there because they're still looking for bus drivers. They're going to continue looking for bus drivers because I know roughly how many buses they need to get out on the road. They might be running at half staff, maybe a little more, but that's it. You know, and I've been down there two Septembers in a row, and I can't tell you how many charter buses I saw carrying people back to resorts.
Yep.
I had that in September too, and using the ECVs, and you get a charter bus, you have to wait. I waited through four.
Because even though they have a lift on that, they don't have the same protocol that Disney buses do in loading ECVs and people who need extra time first. It happened to me once. I ended up having to sit for almost 20 minutes extra because the charter bus that was there, they didn't know anything about how to make it work.
I think last trip it was the night I was in Disney Springs for dinner, and one of the crazy storms we had that week came through, mm-hmm. and I'm stuck in the bus thing waiting, and we had three buses come in a row that were either full or had a charter. There were charter buses, and I just had to kind of back up and just sit and wait it out, and you know, little things like that. But when you add it all up after a while, it's a lot.
There's still the hiring freeze on the rest of the company. And I have a lot of friends who work for the company, and I see firsthand when the pandemic hit and they, you know, furloughed people, and a lot of what's happening now and what problems I see in the parks are that there's a lot of CPs that don't get trained enough yet, and it's not their fault. And then they're put in these positions that are very demanding. And the thing is, we need the people that are now gone back. And it was definitely a way of getting rid of some of the more higher paid people. Mm-hmm. You can see like for example, during the Halloween party this year, there was so many CPs working the first night when I went, and lines were really backed up for buying anything. It's not their fault. They are thrown into the fire. And that's part of the guest experience where people are noticing like weird things and getting upset. They need to hire more people. So I know and they need to put up more people who are working well, because they're not training the CPs. They need people who are trained. And I don't know what's going to happen with the hiring freeze, but that needs to end. Like, that is a big deal. I don't think people realize that.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that Bob Iger is going to take care of that in due time. I think he's just being cautious not to jump too many hoops at one time. But he has made some small changes so far along the way that people seem to be happy about. For instance, I've been tracking Disney Genie Plus, and over the last week and a half, it hasn't gone over $20 a day. It has fluctuated a little bit, but I have seen it as low as 15 again, which previous to that I had not seen in weeks. That's not even counting Thanksgiving weekend. Even before that, they were doing $20, $23 for a day. There was one day, I don't remember what it was, it might have actually been Thanksgiving or the Friday after, it was 25. You know, I'm a family of five. If we all go, that's an extra $125 a day. I'm not going to pony up that kind of dough for that.
No, that's almost a ticket. Well, almost a ticket into the park, depending on the day of the week and the day of the park. And the, you know, it's like,
Yeah. My husband came down one day. He doesn't have an annual pass. And it was a Sunday in November, and it cost over $200 just for a park-to-park ticket. It was a lot.
That's a lot of money.
I don't think he knows, so I hope he doesn't hear this.
Stare him away if you listen.
So. I mean, my brain goes back to the days when Matthew will remember, because he booked a couple of them for me when I had annual passes from up here in New Jersey. It made sense. We were doing two trips within a year, and then you know, I can't think of how many trips in between we added on. And when I broke it down in the end, I think my park ticket broke down to like under $35 a day. We were there so many days within that year. But that was like, I'm trying to think how long ago that was. It's at least 10 years for the first one. And then I had one like 2 years later.
Yeah. I'm hoping they bring back annual passes for everyone, because it's such a difference in how you vacation in every way. And there are a lot of people that couldn't afford their passes anymore, and they got rid of them. And then I've heard so many stories of like, I don't know why I did this, because now I can't get it back if I wanted to. And now if I go, it's like so much money just to go. Mm-hmm. It's a shame. And honestly, though, like I can't believe the price increases and all of that as well. I mean, it was hundreds of dollars, hundreds between my first year of having an annual pass, which was in 2020. I got it just before the freeze, and then in this next year that I just paid. And now photo pass is like extra. Right. And then the lines for photo pass are like 1,000 miles long. So it almost feels like a waste. I hardly ever get to do them. That's part of the crowd problem. And my other like Disney Christmas wish list is, please get rid of those reservations. They are ruining our lives. Mm-hmm. And not even just people like me who have annual passes who get blocked out, who pay for the biggest annual pass that you can pay for, so that you don't have blackout dates, but you still get blocked out from no reservations available. But people who also come down to vacation, like my aunt went, she went last year, and she has timeshares. So she didn't stay on Disney property. And she did not know and realize about the reservation thing. And so she went down for nothing. She couldn't get into any park. So she still has these park tickets that she never even used. It was such a stressful time to like help her through this. And just because she's not staying on Disney property, she was still coming to Disney.
Right.
And I think that's
she's coming to spend her money there. Like,
yeah,
maybe not in a room, but you know, like in food, in getting into the parks, in buying stuff. Like, you're not going to go to Disney and not spend money, regardless of if you're an annual pass holder or a day guest. And I think that's like the big push in Disneyland, is they keep saying it's a locals park, but they're not letting them buy annual passes. Well, they don't give us enough money. But if you don't have anybody coming in, you're not going to have enough money. So like, it makes no sense.
To call us undesirable was incredibly, incredibly hurtful. And I spoke to people about this, and the fact that they would prefer to have families that come once every 10 years versus pass holders who are there every day spending money. Do you know how much money I spend at these parks to make the videos I make? And I'm just one person. And besides just creators who come in and spend a bunch of money to create content, annual pass holders in general, like I have plenty of friends who just have annual passes and go. You can't just go and ride a few rides and go home. No, you're getting snacks, you're getting dinner, you're getting merch, you're getting it all. So, but it seems like they are making more money on the resort stays, and that's why they've been pushing it. And they have actually made incredible amounts of money this year on resort stays. And it's because they pushed that, hey, if you stay on property, you get more options for reservations. And that scared a lot of people, and I don't blame them, because look what happened to my aunt. Look what happened to me as an annual pass holder. It can happen. So you have more options. They're not dumb. It worked, but it's still going to alienate people.
I think eventually the trickle down will happen, because, you know, yes, right now it's booming and they're making and people are coming. But when that, you know, when you're people who've never been there before or going once every 10 years, like you said, stop because they've hit their 10, you know, like they're not going to come again for 10 more years, or, you know, then when your regular fan base and your regular clientele then can't come because you've pushed them out to a point that they don't want to come or they can't afford it anymore. Like you said, there isn't a reservation to get in or what have you. That trickle down is eventually going to happen. It's just probably going to be a little slower because of the size of everything down there. You let it go on long enough, it's got to have an effect somewhere.
Right. And before Chapek left, I saw an interview with him saying, like, I don't know one person who likes the reservation system. And I couldn't believe this interview. He said, people love the reservation system. And then he said, it helps keep with crowd control. But the parks have never been more crowded in at least my lifetime that I've seen. I mean, it's like the holidays every day there. In January, it's so incredibly crowded. Mm-hmm. So he straight up, I mean, I'll say it, he straight up lied in that interview. I mean, I think I'm so thankful that they realized how much damage he was doing. So I am hopeful for the future. But we also have to remember that Iger, you know, did put some of the things in place before going away, like Genie Plus. And I know some people like it. I'm personally not a fan of it. I also think that what they've done to get people to do Genie Plus for people who were on disability access is not okay. I have my friend's mom is in a wheelchair and she can no longer be on disability access because they want her to use Genie Plus. I think it has there are flaws from prior, there are flaws now. There's hope for the future, but I'm still going to be realistic about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. And I'm with you. There is hope for the future. There are some of the things that Chapek did I don't think Iger would have done or gone along with. I think he's going to probably try and undo some of those. I, like you said, I'm hoping the park reservation system is one of them. At the very least, and I've heard a rumor that this may be coming about right after the first of the year, but I'd like to see him change park hopping so that you could just hop whenever you want to.
That too.
Yeah.
Somebody I was listening to the other day, I can't remember who it was, also said that they'd like to see us, I think it was Ricky from Be Our Guest. They'd like to see Walt Disney World do like Disneyland does, allow you to go ahead and go into another park once hopping is allowed, even if you have not entered your park reservation park first. I like that idea too.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Especially Disneyland and DCA are a few feet away.
You can walk between them. Yeah.
But if you have an Animal Kingdom and want to go to Magic Kingdom, that's over an hour of your day ruined just to check into one place and then go to the park you want to.
Right. And that can take almost an hour between those two because there's no direct routes between parks.
Well, just on the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'd have to Uber or something, and that would save you time, but that may also affect where you get dropped off at.
Right, that would be TTC.
TTC at Magic Kingdom, for sure. Yep.
Unless you do minivans, which minivans will take you to the front. I'm glad those are back. I wasn't always the biggest fans of them, but I see a lot of the benefits of them, and they're definitely expensive, but they're great for if you have kids because of the car seats. So I'm glad those are back. That was a big win.
Okay. So does anybody have any other Christmas wish lists for Disney that they'd like to talk about?
Disneyland is also on mine, by the way.
Yeah. I've been to Disneyland. Have either of you ever been there before?
No.
I've not been to Disneyland. I've been to Disneyland Paris. Okay. But not Disneyland.
Oh, no. Okay. My grandparents lived in San Diego when I was a child. So we went to California twice a year, and we drove up to Disneyland at least once during those trips. And probably by the time I was 12, 13, you could put me blindfolded anywhere in that park. and I could tell you where I was by the sound and the smell. Now, I haven't been in 30 some odd years at this point now, never been to DCA. So, and my kids have never been. So that's on the list. It's on the graduation gift list from my daughter. So we'll see if that happens. First, we got to agree, got to get her to agree to sit on a plane for 5 hours. That'll be the first part because she doesn't like to fly. Mm. So I just want my Disney store order to come before Christmas. That's the other thing I need. Two gifts in there. That's on my Christmas list, please.
I've got one other thing on my wish list, and I'd like to do an Adventures by Disney trip. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I care where, although at the top of my list would probably be the California trip that gives you the access to the studios and then a day or two at Disneyland in the process. I think that would be a blast. But I'd be interested in some of the other things. You know, they offer so many options in their trips these days. You know, you can do an all land thing, or you can do a riverboat through Europe and parts of Asia. I mean, yeah, if I had money, I didn't have to worry about where it was coming from, I'd love to be able to do one of those in a heartbeat. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And if I do one of those, my wife would probably go because she likes foreign countries. So she'd be all about that.
I had forgotten about Adventures by Disney.
There was one that they posted a few months ago. It was insane. It was like millions of dollars, and it sold out.
Was it all the different park ones?
I think it was that one. It's been a
while. When you went to all the Disney properties, I think it, and like, yeah, I remember seeing something. That's crazy. But you've done Paris already, Demi, so you're a step ahead of me.
Yeah, it was. I went in 2018 as part of my honeymoon, and oh, it's fun. Not in Paris. It's like an outside. It's like an hour outside of Paris. Yeah. And when I went, it was still, you know, it's getting all renovated now. And I would love to go back once it's all finished, because when I went, and it was the first week of December. First of all, it was cold. It was perfect for me. It was like New York.
Like here.
Yeah, it was just like here. So it was great. I wore like a jacket. It was wonderful. Or a flannel. It was wonderful. But what was so great is that all of their holiday stuff was included, unlike Disney World.
Yeah.
And but I couldn't believe for the first week of December during the holidays, Hyperspace Mountain was under refurbishment. Phantom Manor, which is their haunted mansion, was under refurbishment.
And oh, geez.
It was soul crushing. I mean, and then so many things were so old and like broken. Like we got stuck on Big Thunder. Anytime we were online for Pinocchio, and right before we got on, it broke down. Like things would happen like that all the time. And I know they're doing a lot to like fix certain things. And their studio side, which they call Walt Disney Studios, had like the old like lights action motorcade thing. You know, remember those? Mm-hmm. And they had this attraction. It was called Armageddon, based off the movie Armageddon. You know, every child's favorite movie. And you go in, and there's a guy who's is a cast member, and they say, because they do a lot in French and in English there, and he says, who here speaks French? Who here speaks English? Who here speaks Spanish? And he goes, sorry, Spanish speakers, can't help you. I was like, what? and then it was just so weird. And then the pre-show was Michael Clark Duncan, who was famously dead at that point for like 5 years. So it was weird, to say the least. And then I don't even know really what the attraction was. I couldn't even tell you, because you stand in this room, things like happen around you, but like, I don't even know. And everyone was just supposed to scream at the same time. Like we were all told to scream. So it was just like things happening around you. The end. And it was one of the weirdest experiences of my life. And now all of that is gone and is now Marvel and going to be Frozen. So my wish list, probably in like years, a few years, while everything is, you know, changed up.
It's done.
Which also the Hotel New York, which is now the Marvel Hotel New York. When we went, it looked like somebody saw a picture of New York once, but never actually saw New York, and then made a hotel. But now that it's Marvel, I'd love to see that. So that's on my wish list for like in a few years is to go back and see.
As long as the New York hotel doesn't have the scent of New York in the summer, we're all good.
Oh, I love that smell. It's just
that Manhattan in August.
I'm kidding.
There is nothing quite like
there
that.
Is nothing quite like the smell of heat and sewage.
Okay, so yeah, I'm taking that off my list of things to do.
This is the time of year to come to New York City. It doesn't smell bad now. It
smells great.
I've never been.
Yep. Real?
No.
Oh, it's the best time. It's the best place to be in the wintertime. Though Paris will make a run for New York's money. It's pretty great there too. But
the skyline is not quite clear. I was going to say it's not quite clear out my window right now, or I return you, Matthew, so you could see it at least, but it's a little too like weird out tonight. It was very clear last night, but
if I can be quite honest, I've never really had the desire to see New York in person, but the older I get, the more I'm thinking maybe it'd be worth a couple days.
Don't you have one of your children? Doesn't your daughter love Broadway or musical theater a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's enough of a reason.
My sister-in-law lived in New York until about a year and a half ago. Then she moved home to take a teaching job here. But I guess for me, I'm in about as big of a city as I want to be in, to be honest with you. I've been to Chicago. Chicago doesn't scare me that much because once you learn how to use the trains and the buses, you can get around anywhere. And I'm sure it's probably the same in New York.
Pretty much.
There's something about that many people in one place that just makes me a little uncomfortable.
Okay. That's fair. I don't think, Demi, you don't live right in Manhattan, correct? Are you?
No. I'm a Queens kid.
Okay.
But we have a lot of people all over this this peninsula as well. We're an island too. It's different.
Island. You're an island, aren't you? Yeah, I was gonna say you're an island.
We're an island,
and there's quite a few people over here as well on this side of the river. So,
I mean, the best reason to live where you live is just to see New York.
Yes, pretty much. That's about right. Mm-hmm. I'm in Northern, so I'm up George Washington Bridge end of things.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah.
So I've got a couple of Facebook responses here that I wanted to go over and maybe get your guys' input on. One of them, I think, is actually quite interesting. This one comes from Nicole Davis. Now, I don't know if you guys know who she is, but I'm going to give her a plug. There's a show called DW60. It's on Sorcerer Radio on Friday mornings at 8 o'clock and I believe again at 7 o'clock in the evening. And I listen to them fairly regularly. But she responded to my question with, I want to see a new original attraction. Something along the lines of Jungle Cruise, Pirates, Small World, Carousel of Progress. She says, let Imagineering do what they do best and create. I can't disagree with that. What do you guys think?
100%.
Something that's not a roller coaster. Is that terrible? That makes, like everything or an... Like, I'm not a big roller coaster person, so.
I love them, but I know what you mean. And yeah, because that's easy to get away with. But to do like a storied ride that's original again? Yeah. I mean, you can do a storied coaster, but you know.
Yeah, but do you think though that Rise is the start of one of those kind of things?
Rise of the Resistance?
Yeah, because I feel like I've never ridden anything like that before in my life.
I mean, the first time I rode that, which I luckily rode in the first 2 weeks of it being open, I didn't have any spoilers. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And to this day, it's one of my favorite rides of all time. There really is nothing like it. I even cry and I don't even love Star Wars that much.
Same.
It's truly an immersive experience versus more than a ride, in my opinion. Yeah, it's kind of like how we had, taking that ride system is definitely fun. I mean, they did the trackless ride over at Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway. Yeah. So, I mean, does that count as original? I guess not, because they're already an established IP. Yeah, I would love something that's not IP again, because and everything that they've announced or speculating have announced has been IP.
Right. Fair, fair.
Yeah. And I think this person is right. Like the things that kind of stand the test of time for Disney rides and lore and attraction are the ones that were made for the parks.
I agree with that. I think I would probably put Haunted Mansion in with her list as well, because
yeah.
Where else do you go into a haunted mansion and end up laughing your funny bone off?
Yeah,
fair. And there's no other. It has one of the biggest fan bases, like ever, you know. And there's one in every park, a different version, and it's such a huge success. And they're even now doing another attempt at a movie. I think we've had. To be honest with you, I've had enough of the movie things. Even with like the original like rides, like the only because like they got a hit with Pirates, and then it was just not. It was not working out.
Right.
But yeah. Do you remember Tomorrowland? That was a movie with George Clooney.
Yes, I do remember that. That was terrible.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
I was hoping that would be a lot better than it is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion movie, but, you know, it's not like Pirates, which I don't think, I mean, it's just unbelievable. At least the first three are, but.
I was going to say, what number are we at to?
Yeah. Five was rough. Oh my gosh. I recently saw it.
I don't think I've seen past two. So.
Five was rough. Four was just not as good. And then five was rough. But okay.
Good to know. Yeah. Putting it on the list of don't bother.
Yeah, I would love something though, like you said, a non-coaster, and I'm a coaster person, but I also love a dark ride. I love a boat ride. I have to tell you, I love a boat ride. Like to me.
Oh, then you need to get to California.
I
because
know.
You've got to ride Small World there. It is. I cannot put myself on it in Florida. After we did it the first time. Almost 11 years ago, I turned to my daughter, who was 10 at the time, and said to her, "That's not really what this ride is. You need to just forget that ever happened, and we'll do it in California someday." She's 21 now, and will remind me of it every now and then. She's like, "We still have to go do that." I'm like, "Yes, I know."
Yeah, yes, I've seen their holiday overlays too. It looks incredible. I mean,
that's beautiful outside.
Yeah, that's like on my list. I mean. I think, you know, too, like, especially now that they've added to Epcot the Moana walkthrough attraction. And I love Moana, and I think that the Te Fiti is, like, beautiful. It's just, like, it's so weird to see an IP in Future World, which I know is not technically Future World anymore, which upsets me.
It makes no sense to me right there.
I'm not going to stop calling it.
That's what we call it.
I just can't.
I walked in there 2 days after they opened the place, so I remember the original everything, and
same thing with like Guardians. Yeah. Like it's like my favorite coaster in Disney now. Like that and Everest are my favorite, but like Guardians is so much fun, but it's just so random. And I know how they split the lands to try to justify this, all this stuff, I guess.
Everything's a neighborhood now.
Yeah, everything is a neighborhood. And it's I don't know. Like it just feels so different. Like you ever ride Soarin' now, and you know at the end of Soarin' you go back into Epcot, and it's like it doesn't look like that.
It's like, wait, this doesn't look like this anymore. Yeah. I thought that when I was on it in September. I'm like, you know, it doesn't even look like this anymore. It'll be going over at the end there.
Okay. And then the other comment was, and I love this. This is from my wife's cousin, Annette, actually. And she says it may be a pipe dream, but she dreams of staying a night in Cinderella's castle.
Don't we all?
Yeah. You know how many contests I have put my name in to do that? Or donations I have made in those contests to do it?
I would like to do that, but I have a codicil to my request. I want free run of the park while I'm there.
I don't think once the park closes, you're allowed out. I'm not sure, though. Yeah.
You're not, but I want to change that. When there's nobody in the park, let me go. I wouldn't even have to do any attractions. I'd like to just walk around and look at everything with nobody being around, take pictures.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Because that's a rare occasion.
It's kind of eerie now that you say it that way. You're not allowed out until the park reopens.
They have like a concierge that stays downstairs, I believe, that, you know, is to get you whatever you need, whatever you want. But I think it's also there to keep you in the building. So you
don't like a weird quarantine.
I guess the idea is.
Yeah, because once they close, the park is considered backstage. I don't think you're even allowed to take any pictures at that point.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, I have been the last guest before in the park. Park was already closed. I mean, I took pictures then, but I guess I don't know if that counts. And I've actually been, or like at least one of the last guests, like a few times. One time it was just because I wanted to do it and I never did it. And then the other times were like after like something and I was doing something with like a cast member at guest services. And then it just ended up being so late. But it's so awesome to see the parks empty. I mean, it's really something to see. But now, I'm never going to not think about Cinderella Castle being like a weird quarantine place now. It is totally broken in my brain.
But when you think about it too, like the people who do get to stay there, like, I mean, you know, the one I always see the infamous pictures on their Instagram and stuff is Neil Patrick Harris. When he's there with his kids, when he does Candlelight Processional, they always seem to stay in the castle one of the nights he's there. Can he run around the park afterwards?
Wait, really?
He is?
He can do that? Wow, I didn't realize that, because I remember they made a whole big deal about like, oh, well, it's not something you can purchase. It's people who win contests.
Well, he's
charity. I guess, like, you know, he's him.
Yeah, he's there for them, so I guess.
It's not something the everyday person like us
can
purchase. That's
the key, I think, in that is that it's, you know.
I've heard that Tom Cruise has stayed there a few times. So, you know, I guess it depends on if you've got the money.
I guess so.
And you figure he's doing Candlelight Processional. He's like the biggest draw into Candlelight Processional, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. So Josh Gad did it this year. And
it was just this week, I think, one day.
I have heard that went really well.
From what I've seen,
And then he posted a video on TikTok of being at Oga's Cantina.
Not a shock.
That's great.
Why not? Well, ladies, we have talked longer than
I thought.
That's
because there's two of us.
And I'm really glad of that. Yes. And I didn't say a whole lot, so this is going to be a fun edit. I really, really enjoyed having you both here. Lori, as always, it's great to see you and talk to you for a little bit.
You as well. And say hello to everybody for me.
Will do. And Demi, anytime you want to talk, you let me know. You've got an open spot here. I love having you on. You've got so much insight and thought. It makes the conversation a lot of fun for me. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Demi, we'll have to meet on the escalator in the Disney store in Manhattan someday. Okay?
Absolutely. It's a date.
Okay. All right.
I want to say thank you to our guest tour guides this week, Lori Harding and Magical Hijinks. If you're looking for some really great resort tours, deep dives into special events, or even just everyday touring, make sure to check out Magical Hijinks on YouTube. I will post a link to her site in the description. I would also like to ask all of our tourists to say a special prayer and send well wishes to our beloved co-host, Mindy Muir. Her family has been hit hard this last quarter with health issues and could really use some encouragement and positive thoughts. We here at Disney Conversations are praying and hoping that she'll be able to rejoin us soon. And we appreciate you, the tourists, for joining us in those wishes. This is Magical Matthew, wishing you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, or however you celebrate the holidays. Enjoy each other, and we'll see you in the new year.